disturb me from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 61 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Thank you very much for coming back this week as we dive deeper into this whole mystery of Goku Black and Zamasu and Future Trunks and alternate timelines and all kinds of crazy convoluted shit that we will certainly get more into in a minute. Just want to remind everybody, hosted two other podcasts if you happen to want to check those out. Geekly Dose, talked about everything geek, Public City Report, Legend of Korra podcast, etc. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher.com. If you find yourself over on iTunes looking up those podcasts, you might as well leave me a review if you're there. I actually do have a new review for this week. It's been a while. I hadn't had one in a couple months. Just got one fresh, hot off the press today. So I want to send a shout out to Beedley1989. Five-star review, says great show. Beedley writes, I've been listening to the show since the Universe 6 arc. It's one of those podcasts that helps me get through work. Thanks, man. Keep up the good work. Hey, short and sweet. That's okay, too. Beedley, thank you so much for being the one to kind of come in and break the old review ice block again, because it had been, well, I mean, it had been about 2 months. I don't want to make it sound like it's been like a year, but it had been a while. They were coming in kind of steady for a while, and they kind of dropped off. So it's nice to know you guys are still enjoying it. I mean, I don't doubt that you're enjoying it, but if you happen to want to take an extra minute and leave me a review, that'd be great. And obviously, if you want to go over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast, that'd be incredible as well. I just posted a photo of some little action figure things that I have that I think is pretty cool. And so if you want to check that out, you can head over there. Obviously, be on the lookout for more on that page, as well as all this other stuff that I've been kind of hinting at for a while. I still have those commentary tracks coming. I've got some other stuff. It's just taking a little bit longer because, well, I'm just busy as hell, to be honest with you. But don't worry, it's all still coming, and I promise it will all be worth it. If you have anything you want to say, any questions, comments, concerns about the show, any questions for me, you can send me an email for our segment called What Are You Saying? At rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. I don't have any emails for this week. I do have a Facebook message, but it pertains specifically to this episode of the show of Dragon Ball Super, so I'll just save it until the end because it kind of makes more sense to just wait to the end. But yeah, since I don't really have any emails this week for the most part, we're just going to jump on into it. I don't have any other news or anything. So on episodes like this, we just kind of jump into the heart of the action. So let's just get on in there. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon podcast, episode 61, is going to cover episode 61 of Dragon Ball Super, titled Zamasu's Ambition, the Storied Project Zero Mortals of Terror. Man. Maybe one of the dumbest titles they've had, right? No, I don't. I mean, I feel like they were really trying with this title, but it just doesn't really work. I'm not a big fan of this. The fact that they call it Project Zero Mortals, that just seems like a lazy sort of translation from the Japanese version, which, once again, I don't watch, so I don't know what it technically translates to in Japan. But I feel like they could have just made a better name for that. Project Zero Mortals. I don't know. Of terror at that. Okay. Anyway, let's just get on into it. Oh, man. So there's a lot of shit this episode. Okay. This is an interesting episode. This episode has a lot of action. It has a lot of fighting in it. It has a lot of story reveals. So with all of that being said, it should be one of the best episodes yet, right? Because that's usually the best ones have a little bit of everything, right? The story's good. The story advances. There's action in it. There's drama in it. There's a little bit of humor in it, maybe, etc. Right? Of course, there's no humor in this one because that's, well, we don't really... everything that's happening here is pretty serious, so I'm okay with there not being any humor. That's totally fine. But just kind of given the fact that we kind of have everything, all of the elements that we, that all of the ingredients that typically make a really good episode of Dragon Ball Super in this episode, you think it'd be one of the best episodes. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm a little bit iffy on this episode. And I know that's probably going to catch some of you guys by surprise and be, why, man? What is there not to like? I mean, you got all these cool fighting and shit. We got people getting angry. We got people powering up, etc. I don't disagree with any of that. My problem with this episode is this origin of Goku Black, okay? I'm just not a big fan of this story. At least this aspect of the story. You know, specifically the origin. I'm not buying into that. You know what, we'll get into it. Let's just start the episode talk and we'll break this down. I need you guys to bear with me through this because I'm going to try to explain every single thing that I'm talking about here. Hopefully I won't forget anything because I feel like it's kind of a lot. So if you're in your car, go ahead and buckle up. Put the seat back a little bit. Don't fall asleep, though. Not while you're driving. If you're at work, bring those headphones in tight. We're finna get into this thing. Okay. So obviously with episode 60, we find out that Goku Black is essentially Zamasu, right? That it's the mind and I guess the soul of Zamasu inside Goku's body. Okay, we find that out at the end of episode 60. What we didn't know is exactly how he got the body, etc. Who the other person right next to him was that looked like Zamasu. These are questions that I was left with after watching episode 60. They don't waste any time kind of getting into the explanations of all this. Okay, so this episode kind of starts off with that. I mean, the first question that comes out of Goku's mouth is, if you're Zamasu, then who is this dude right here who looks just like Zamasu? Well, we find out he's also Zamasu. Okay. Little bit weird, but not the worst thing. I can kind of deal with this. So at this point in the episode, I'm kind of okay. So he quickly sort of explains that this is also Zamasu. He's just the Zamasu from Future Trunks' timeline. Okay, so the alternate sort of future version, it stands to reason that there would also be a Zamasu in that time. Okay, so far so good. Everything's kind of fine. Okay, so it's also revealed that Goku Black is saying that he's actually from the original timeline, I'm guessing here, right? So essentially what happened here is that Zamasu as Goku Black traveled to the alternate future using the time ring, contacted the Zamasu of that timeline, and they kind of join forces. Now, what kind of bugs me, the first thing that bugs me about this is that, you know, there's a whole comment about, you know, once it's revealed that this is the Zamasu from sort of the regular quote unquote timeline. And Goku says, well, how can that be? Because I saw you get destroyed by Beerus. Well, he's saying, I'm wearing this time ring. So as long as you're wearing the ring, nothing can happen to you. I mean, that just seems like such a cheap sort of get out of jail free card, right? Remember, I talked about this. It's stuff like this that just cheapens the whole thing. It's like saying, because Dragon Ball, once it continues to break their own rules, this is something that I talk about a lot more so lately, and it becomes extra tough when it comes to time travel, because that's something that's already confusing enough as it is, right? So then they make it worse and they write themselves in the corners, and then they have to find ways to get out of it, because as far as we knew, time worked in a certain way because they established it a certain way when Future Trunks first came back to save Goku's life. Okay, it was established that it would work that way, and that if you made a change in the past, it didn't affect the future at all. Then they said, oh, on second thought, but if a god interferes, it does change the future. Oh, wait, never mind. Only if that person's not wearing a time ring. I mean, it becomes a little hard to keep track of all the rules when you keep sort of volleyballing back and forth with the way these things work, okay? So that's the first sort of thing that kind of gives me a problem with all of this shit. So then Trunks says something like, oh, okay, so you're some version of Goku from a time where you actually killed your master, right? Which is kind of like speaking for the audience there, because I'm like, okay, what, wait, what, how did he, so this is some other alternate version of the time of the timeline where Goku was killed and etc. And then Goku Black says, well, yeah, I had to kill my master because only a Supreme Kai can use a time ring. But you didn't have to kill Goasu in order to become a Kai. You were all the Supreme Kai. You were already going to become Supreme Kai anyway. So I thought that was kind of stupid that he said that. You know, he says, I killed him because the Supreme Kai is the only one who can use a time ring. It's like, well, dude, you were literally in training to become Supreme Kai. So I think it was just a little bit bad from a writing perspective to make it seem like, based on what he said, that was the only reason he killed Goasu, so that he could become Supreme Kai and use a time ring. He was going to become Supreme Kai regardless. That was the whole point. He was being trained to become Supreme Kai. Now, I guess you could say, well, maybe he didn't feel like waiting, because we don't know how long it would have taken him to become Supreme Kai. Maybe with these Kais, they probably live thousands of years. So who knows? Maybe it would have taken another 1,000 years or so of training to become Supreme Kai. Maybe he didn't feel like waiting for that. Well, then they could have just said that, right? They could have had him just say that. But instead, it just comes across as being kind of stupid, because it's like, well, I only killed him, you know, so I could become Supreme Kai. Well, you were going to be Supreme Kai regardless, okay? Now, my other problem with this is that it's just not clear what weird sort of version of the timeline this stuff happened in. Because obviously, it didn't happen, right? Like, it happened, but it didn't happen, because Goku's alive. I mean, we're looking at him. He's in the future right now fighting these guys. So he's obviously not dead. So what does that mean? I guess that means that there is a version of this timeline. This is the way I'm perceiving it. In the original version of this, Goku was killed by Zamasu, okay, after he switched bodies with him. But in the future, in Trunks' timeline, because of Goku Black, Trunks went back. See, this is confusing. Trunks went back in time before that happened. So essentially, him going back in time stopped Zamasu from killing Goku, taking his body, etc. But he created a new timeline. Right. So there's an original timeline where Goku was killed and shit like that. OK, but then when Trunks went back to warn them about Goku Black, he created a new timeline. Goku wasn't killed. Zamasu never got a chance to kill Goku because Trunks went back in time and stopped that. OK, so essentially we have three timelines that we're dealing with here, unless I'm misinterpreting something. We have future Trunks's timeline. We have the current main story timeline, okay, which is where Vegeta and Goku are from, and Bulma, okay, and then we have this other alternate timeline where Goku was killed by Zamasu and etc. I guess you can say it happened, but it kind of didn't, right? Because they stopped it. So that's the impression that I'm getting here. But my problem with this is that it's just super confusing. You know, it's like, it's kind of hard to keep track of all this stuff. And I feel kind of stupid even analyzing these episodes as much as I am, because it's Dragon Ball. Okay, it's Dragon Ball. The writing has always been spotty throughout Dragon Ball Z, GT, Super, whatever. But I feel like now, since I do a podcast, I kind of have a responsibility to analyze these episodes probably a little bit more deeply for you guys than I normally do. Okay, so keep that in mind as I'm going through all this stuff, because had this been like 10 years ago, or if I wasn't doing this podcast, I'd probably just be accepting this shit and moving on like I did when I watched Dragon Ball Z. But since I'm doing this now, the podcast, I'm gonna try to break it down and try to make sense of this stuff. So yeah, so basically, you know, in that version, in that third sort of alternate timeline, Zamasu actually killed Goasu, became Supreme Kai. Eventually, he makes a wish. Okay, he gathers the Super Dragon Balls. These are all things they were kind of hinting at anyway. He gathers the Super Dragon Balls and then he makes a wish to switch bodies with Goku. Okay, now before we get to that in the episode, now what I do like about this, and that's a bit different than what Dragon Ball Z would have done. You know, in Dragon Ball Z, they would have just stood here for the entire episode and just talked, right? But here, they're interspersing some action throughout. So we get some talking, we get some exposition. There's some attacking that happens, and then they stop and talk again. There's some attacking that happens, and they stop again, etc. So that pretty much happens here. And now that we've learned that these are essentially two Zamasus that they're fighting against, you know, we start to see the similarities and things like that. So they just kind of jump into a fight and just kind of quickly reminds them that Zamasu is invincible. Okay, the Zamasu of Future Trunks' timeline is invincible. We get this pretty sweet shot of Goku flying towards him. He just kind of smokes him in the face. But of course, it does nothing. I got to say this, man. I wish that they would save the budget for these episodes where there's a lot of cool shit happening so that cool shit would look better. You know, because a lot of this, there's a lot of cool fighting stuff that happened this episode. Unfortunately, it just didn't look very good because the animation was kind of crappy in some spots. You know, we don't need these. Save if you have a low budget for an episode, save that for the ones where they're just with the filler ones or the ones where not much action is happening. I would rather have the awesome animation during the fighting than anywhere else. But okay, so we get back into sort of this conversation where Goku Black is kind of explaining the fact that how he knew about the alternate future, right? Because this is something that they talked about a while back. There's a scene where Gosu is explaining to Zamasu that every time time is sort of manipulated, a new time ring is created. I think that that's something. So he knew that there were alternate timelines because he knew how many time rings there were. So I guess using that logic, he decided to travel to Trunks's alternate future, find the other version of himself. Okay. But in this version, Zamasu never killed Gosu, but he wanted to. It was something that he was thinking about, but he never sort of acted on for whatever reason. So he saves him the trouble. Goku Black kills Gosu, kind of, you know, has a bonding moment with Zamasu, and then they hug, which is kind of fucking weird. I mean, did anybody else find that kind of weird? I'm wondering if that's just something that translates a lot better in Japan. Like maybe that sort of thing is a little bit more normal in on TV and anime for people who just met to hug each other when they both have sadistic sort of plots. But yeah, they hug. I don't know. I just thought that was super weird, but whatever. Okay. So then, yeah. And then at that point, they summon the Super Dragon Balls yet again to make Zamasu invincible. Okay, so as far as we know at this point, there's been two wishes made with the Super Dragon Balls. One has been Zamasu from a sort of third weird alternate version of all of this who uses the Super Dragon Balls to switch bodies with Goku. And then two, thanks to the time ring, they were able to sort of jump around. And then they use another wish to make Zamasu invincible. And then they destroy the Super Dragon Balls. I've always thought it so strange that these magical orbs that hold so much power are so easily destroyed. Like even the regular Dragon Balls, like you could just easily destroy those things. Like it was nothing. I mean, I don't know. It just seems real. I mean, like how powerful is this Supreme Kai of one universe that he can just wipe out Super Dragon Balls with all the power that they have? But whatever. I mean, I guess they teamed up and did it together. But they also mentioned that they also wiped out every other god or deity in that, and I guess in, I don't know if it was just that universe or every universe. I'm not sure if it was, I don't know if it was clear or not. Now this is all, obviously this is all in Future Trunks' timeline because they want to make sure there was no one else who could challenge their power. So I guess that also means that I guess that would also include Beerus, okay? Because there would have been a Beerus in that alternate future. Of course, he never had any reason to come to Earth because there was never would have been a Super Saiyan God and etc., right? So I guess they just snuck up on him while he was asleep or something and wiped his ass out. I don't know. So I guess that explains why no one else has come to the aid of Earth, and Zamasu and Goku Black are kind of running around, running everything. And then, of course, they take a moment to kind of further explain why they're doing this. They elaborate on Project Zero Mortals a little bit. And as Vegeta says, I mean, there's really no explanation needed. I mean, the name kind of says it all. They're obviously trying to wipe out every mortal because Zamasu has this vision in his head that mortals are what's making the universe worse. And even, I guess he would just rather kill every single mortal and then only be, I mean, because, I don't know. I'm not sure I like this motivation. I mean, I kind of understood it in the beginning because it seemed like, okay, he's making a point. Every single time we give these mortals a chance, they just keep destroying themselves over and over again. They're very destructive, etc. Now he just wants to wipe out every single mortal. Well, why not just wipe out the ones that are being destructive, you know? Is there not a race of peaceful mortals anywhere? I mean, the Nameks are pretty peaceful, right? I don't think anyone would say, oh man, let's go wipe out New Namek because these people are destructive. No, but so it starts to kind of fall apart for me when they say, we're just gonna wipe out every single mortal. Well then who's left, man? You and yourself? You and you, two Zamasus? It's kind of dumb, right? I mean, if you're going to be a god, you have to be a god of something. And if there's nothing left, then what the hell's the point? And that's where Zamasu's motivation just kind of gets lost on me. He kind of starts to lose some of his traction, okay? But then we get some more fighting. We get some fighting, which is good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, it's essentially just kind of showing that these two are, you know, pretty much in sync because they're the same person and they combine some of their energy waves and things like that, okay? Now, there comes this part where Zamasu basically gets Goku sort of up against the wall. And he does something that's just a little, it just kind of bugged me because I'm thinking to myself, why would he just come out of nowhere and ask him this question? You know, it's like he asked him, okay, he said something like, I thought for sure you would have asked by now, Goku. Aren't you concerned about your family? And Goku's like, my family? And he's wondering, well, why should I ask about my family? I don't, as far as I know, they're okay. Well, that's what I'm thinking as someone in the audience too, you know? But what really kind of bugs me about it is that, you know what, let's talk about what happens first and then I can tell you what bugged me about it. So this is where they kind of explain sort of exactly what Goku Black is, okay? And how he got the body. And this is, I don't know. I had all sorts of theories about this. And I'm not happy with the explanation of this. I'm just not. Okay. Because if you remember, I was talking about before, I said it'd be a really cheap sort of explanation for him to just say, well, I use the Dragon Balls to wish to swap bodies with Goku. And that's exactly what it was. And I'm just disappointed, man, because I feel like there was an opportunity there to do something way more creative than that, you know? Because it doesn't really add up. It just doesn't make any sense to me why he would want to swap bodies with Goku. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I understand the fact that when he encountered Goku that one time, he was so embarrassed that Goku got the best of him. And then he saw Goku fighting in the universe, in a Destroyer tournament. And he just started to see how sort of indestructible or, strong Goku's body is. So it stands to reason that he would, you know, be impressed by that. But if it's me and I'm standing in front of the Super Dragon, Super Shenron, or whatever the hell they call them in Super Dragon Balls, why wouldn't you just wish to make yourself stronger instead of wishing for someone else's body? Like, I don't get that, you know. You know, it's like, give me the body of the Saiyan Goku. Why not just wish that you're as strong as Goku? Or wish that your body recovers the way Goku's body does. Or make me stronger than Goku. You know, I'm not buying this whole thing about him just wanting his body because it's, you know, it has the ability to recover or become stronger after fights or whatever. When you can make a wish and the dragon will make your body the same thing, okay? So that's my biggest problem with that. And then they try to play it through in the episode as if, because this happens later on, You know, there's a moment where Goku's kind of beating the shit out of Goku Black, but then he's getting stronger as a result. And he talks about that and he says, oh man, this body, you know, like it gets stronger with every battle, but not in the middle of the fight. That's never happened. Okay, it's been established that Saiyans get stronger after every battle, okay? But not during the battle. They usually get beaten up, have to recover, and then they come back a little bit stronger than they were before. But for some reason now, all of a sudden, with Goku Black, he's getting stronger in the middle of the fight. Now you could say, well, it's because it's a god in Goku's body. Well, they could have said that. But no, they're saying he's essentially giving Goku's body all of the credit, you know? And it's inconsistent. You know, once again, you're establishing rules for a world and then you're breaking them later on. And that just equates to bad writing for me. And then we get this, okay, they kind of show the scene where it happens. Zamasu essentially just kind of stands there, makes the wish, and immediately swaps bodies with Goku. Now, once again, this is some weird alternate third timeline that we never got to see. And so Goku is out, you know, working in the garden or whatever. Goten is out there with him. A lot like episode one, you know, because this episode one, I think, kind of started off like this. So it just happens instantly. You know, he just switches bodies with Goku. All of a sudden, we've got Zamasu dressed in Goku's clothing working there. And then we've got Goku wearing Zamasu's clothing. I hope I said that right. I'm getting super confused now. But yeah. So that happens. Goten witnesses it and he goes to get Chi-Chi and he says, look, I told you, you know, this is different. So Goku's kind of reacting because at this point he's in Zamasu's body, right? So then Zamasu, aka Goku Black, shows up. No explanation how the hell he got there so fast. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he should have been somewhere way out, right? Somewhere way out in the universe, wherever the Super Dragon Balls were, but he manages to get back to Earth in the span of a second. I mean, I don't know. They haven't explained exactly how the Kais can travel, but I wouldn't imagine it would have been that fast. Okay. And you might say, well, he used Goku's instant transmission. No, because that's another thing is that just because he's in Goku's body doesn't mean that he should necessarily be able to do everything Goku can do. And so far, they've kind of been sticking to that, because if you notice, even though Zamasu is in Goku's body, he's still using his own abilities, right? He pulls out the little psychic knife hand thing. That's definitely a Zamasu move. That's not a Goku move. So stands the reason he wouldn't be able to use instant transmission, right? Because they're not playing this in a way to where just because he's in Goku's body, he can do Goku's moves. At least not yet, right? Later on, they do that after Goku Black watches Goku fight. And then he starts to pick up on some of that shit, I think. But here, he's just kind of using his own abilities, you know? And my problem with this is how the way this whole sort of interaction goes down is a little bit unbelievable to me, okay? Okay, I get it. Goku's in Zamasu's body now. So he it's unfamiliar territory. But I don't know if he would have gotten killed as easily as he did. They don't even show it. I mean, he pretty much shows up there. He gets the psychic knife. They cut away to something else, go back, and Goku's just dead. I mean, he didn't put up any sort of a fight. I mean, it's still Goku. Even in someone else's body, he would still be able to fight, right? Just like Zamasu can still fight in Goku's body, Goku should still be able to fight in Zamasu's body. Maybe he wouldn't be as strong, but he should have still been able to put up some kind of a fight. I would think so. And I would think that Zamasu would have had a little bit of trouble. There was no learning curve. He's had one body his entire life. All of a sudden he's in Goku's body and he's just stronger than ever. You know, meanwhile, the last time we saw people switch bodies, it didn't work that way. You know, remember when Captain Ginyu switched bodies with Goku a long time ago and he thought he was becoming stronger? When he was powering up, it was actually powering down because he didn't know how to use Goku's body. Well, that's a rule they established a long time ago that he just broke. You see what I'm saying? Stop breaking your own rules, Dragon Ball. This is the kind of stuff that's making me, like, you know, it's bugging me. Okay, So yeah, essentially, you know, he just kind of admits that all of that, that all of this stuff happens. So they show us the whole sequence and how it plays out. But we can't forget that Goten went to go get Chi-Chi. OK, so he brings her back. And, you know, they're explaining to Goku what happened here. And of course, he asks, well, what about Goten and Chi-Chi? OK, now here's something that, now that this has happened, I can finally admit this. OK, I've known about this moment for a long time. I knew that Goku Black killed Goten and Chi-Chi. I knew that probably 20 episodes ago, I found out. OK, obviously, I was never going to say anything about it because I didn't want to spoil it for you guys who didn't know. But what I didn't know was how it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought it was going to be some moment where it was going to mean a lot and be super pivotal and super interesting. But that's not what's going on here. OK, because no, I mean, he kills them, but it's in this alternate weird third timeline. It's not in the current modern main timeline, right? So it made even less sense that Zamasu would say to Goku, I'm surprised you haven't asked about your family yet. Why would he? That didn't happen to him. That happened to another Goku. That happened to another Goku in a different timeline that technically kind of doesn't even matter anymore, you know? And it pisses Goku off so much, which I guess it still would, but it's not like that's his Goten and Chi-Chi. That's a completely different Goten and Chi-Chi from a timeline that shouldn't have anything to do with them. His Goten and Chi-Chi should still be alive. Now, obviously, I mean, that doesn't mean that it wouldn't piss him off anyway, right? Because, I mean, the idea of his wife and child being killed is going to make him mad regardless. But it's still a little bit weird, you know. I thought it would have been much more powerful to just have Goku Black kill the main current Goten and Chi-Chi. Why wouldn't you just have him kill them? I mean, to me, that makes more sense. You know, I mean, they could have found a way to make that happen. It's almost like they just wanted to find an excuse for Goku to get pissed off here, which I didn't mind because it made for a really badass scene. OK, you know, I'm a big fan of people getting angry and powering up. And that's essentially what happens here now. But before that, of course, he gets impaled, which is kind of brutal, which I like. You know, there's definitely some moments in this episode that reminds me of Dragon Ball Z, like people getting impaled. You know, that's some serious shit. There's a lot of impaling and people getting holes blown and through them in this episode, which I really like. And, you know, as much as this story stuff here, but specifically with Goku Black's origin, is kind of pissing me off. You can't help but love Goku's anger, right? So when he gets angry and he powers up and he's just kind of screaming and talking, well, fuck yeah. I mean, that's going to excite me 10 times out of 10. Why wouldn't it? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that made me fall in love with Dragon Ball Z. So I absolutely love this moment, you know. But at this point, we have no reason to believe that there's any sort of transformation that's going to happen here or anything like that. I mean, and I'm glad they didn't do that. For a second, I was like, uh-oh, Goku's going to transform again. And I'm glad they didn't do that because, well, you know, we don't need a transformation every 5 episodes or anything. At least not from Goku, okay? So he essentially just kind of gets mad and powers up, and then he just goes on this rampage, man. He goes on this rampage where he just essentially just beats the shit out of Goku Black and Zamasu single-handedly, you know, and it's pretty sweet. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty sweet. The only thing that would have made it sweeter would have been better animation at some points. But yeah, he's teleporting around, whooping ass and everything. Because it stands to reason that Goku would still sort of technically be stronger than these guys at this point, right? Because he was stronger than Zamasu in his timeline. Why wouldn't he be stronger than this one? And Goku Black, he essentially got the best of Goku Black when Goku Black went to the present. You know, I mean, he pretty much had him beat before the time ring called him back to his own time. So it's not a big surprise that in this moment, when he gets angry, he can get the best of the both of them. But the problem, once again, is that Zamasu is invincible and Goku Black is getting stronger every time he fights. And that's what I was talking about earlier. it never worked that way with the Saiyans before. You know, they wouldn't just get stronger in the middle of the fight. It would take some recovery time and then they get stronger first. So once again, you create a rule, you break it, I'm going to give you shit for it. Because that's essentially what happens. He's got Goku Black up against the wall and then he wakes up and says, thank you. You know, I, you're beating me up and I'm feeding off the beating and I'm getting stronger now, unless I'm misinterpreting something. So then he kind of, you know, blows a hole through him and pulls out his blade and does a move that for the first time, it's my first time actually seeing this move done in the anime. I've seen it a million times in Dragon Ball Fighters because Goku Black is one of the characters that I use in the game. So it's nice to actually see that move in the show and see, okay, well, that's where that came from. So that's just a little bonus, I guess, for people like me. But yeah, he pretty much takes Goku out. I mean, he freaking puts a bunch of holes in him, blows him up, and he's kind of down for the count. And then he starts going on and on about the body. And once again, this is what I was talking about. Saiyan's strength doesn't typically work like this. But I guess now, since it's convenient for the story, they just decided to make it work. Okay, so they get to a point where they're kind of talking about finishing things off. And Trunks says, hey, I'm not going to let it happen. He tells Vegeta, let me fight Goku Black. You take Zamasu. I don't care. Even if I have to die here, I'm going to take out Goku Black. Okay, so he just kind of gets angry. And before that, they have a conversation. So there's a little bit of elaboration as to why this is happening to begin with. And they're saying that Trunks is a part of the reason that they even feel like they need to wipe out the mortals, because Trunks messed with time. Okay, and they go through this sequence and we see these flashbacks, which are conveniently in black and white. I wonder why. Probably because Trunks' hair was purple back then. Shit. Don't get me started on that again. But he basically just says, hey, you know, had you not messed with time to begin with, none of this would be happening. Had you not gone back and messed with Goku, Goku would have never met Zamasu. Zamasu would have never gotten pissed off. And then he would have never killed Goku and turned into Goku Black. And Goku Black would have never went to the alternate future and found future Zamasu and yada, yada, yada. And so it's because of people like him, apparently, that they feel like they have to wipe out mortals because mortals keep fucking up everything. You're not supposed to mess with time, etc. Okay, fair enough. I mean, none of that really bugs me. So what happens after this point is, you know, Trunks just pretty much gets angry, you know, and says, I'm not going to let you, you know, do this. His usual thing, just kind of rushes up, gets knocked down pretty quickly, or he gets grabbed, right? He gets restrained and then he gets a hole blown through him, which, ooh, brutal, right? And I don't know, for some reason, Vegeta's still just kind of standing around and looking at this point. I mean, dude, how many people have to get wiped out before you get into the fight? Now, every other time, he couldn't wait to get his ass in there. Now, all of a sudden, like, Goku and Trunks are getting knocked down and Vegeta's still standing there talking for some reason. But obviously, this is just a way for the writers to give Trunks an opportunity, I guess, to shine, because what happens next is pretty incredible. We kind of get this moment where Trunks gets up and he gets really, really angry. And he says something along the lines of, you say my choices make me evil, then that's what I'll be. And he powers up, man, in a way that we've never really seen before. I mean, we've got this bright aura shooting up to the sky. We get those reaction shots from Goku Black and Zamasu. Remember those from Dragon Ball? When somebody really does something special, there's that, huh? Reaction that happens there. Even Vegeta looks back. Trunks is powering up in a way that we've never seen him do. You think back to the fight with Perfect Cell, when he sort of had the ascended Saiyan where he was super buff. But this is different, and it's different because first of all, he doesn't buff up completely, but there's still enough of a change to where you know this is something new. It looks like his hair may be a little bit more spiky than it normally is. His pupils have disappeared. He has a light blue aura that is surrounded by a bigger golden aura. And most importantly, he has the little floating particles of energy, right? That are typically associated with Super Saiyan God. what the fuck just happened? That was super impressive and exciting, right? Yeah, who expected that? I mean, once again, man, Dragon Ball is a world where anything can happen. They can just create new shit whenever they feel like it. So maybe Trunks just discovered some new transformation that's unique to him. I don't know if we'll get an explanation for it or not, but it's definitely interesting because I was not expecting future Trunks to just suddenly get super angry and power the hell up and have this completely new sort of energy, right? Because we haven't seen this. We haven't seen a light blue aura within a golden aura and then with particles rising. If I had to guess, I would say it's some sort of ascended Saiyan, I don't know. So maybe something right in between ascended Saiyan and Super Saiyan God, right? Something in the middle of there, because he has both auras, right? He has the blue aura, Super Saiyan blue aura within the golden aura, and he has the deity sort of, you know, particles. So who knows, you know, maybe somehow through his fight with Vegeta or his sparring with Vegeta and seeing Goku and knowing that that exists, he somehow through his rage found a way to tap into some limited version of Super Saiyan Blue. I don't know. I don't know. It's all speculation for me, but all I know is that it was super exciting. So yeah, and that's pretty much the episode. I mean, it's we end on this note of a fucking badass powered up future Trunks kind of headed into battle, and I'm super excited to see what happens. Now I'm gonna say this, I know I complained a lot about this episode, and I hope I explained every problem that I had with it as well as I could, okay? I'm expecting some people to disagree with me here, and that's totally fine. I'm expecting some people to maybe try to explain a couple things that I just didn't understand, and that's totally fine as well. As long as you're not spoiling anything, right? As long as you haven't been watching the Japanese dub, well, then I don't want to know, okay? If it's something that they're going to explain later, I'll just wait until they explain it. But, you know, for now, I have to kind of talk about where I am right now. And I have to say, I'm not crazy about the origin of Goku Black. Like, I don't mind everything else. I just don't like his origin. It just seems a little bit cheap, a little too easy. There's too many holes in there for me to poke through, you know, and I don't know. But all in all, it was an okay episode. I mean, the story was weak, but the action was great. The animation kind of hurt things too, but we got some badass angry Goku and Trunks and some powering up, and that, I mean, hell man, that's Dragon Ball Z. So for that reason, I appreciate the fuck out of this episode. What do you think? What are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to read a quick message here that I got from Brent. Brent says, from this week's episode, angry Goku is the best kind of Goku. That scene was great. Most well done Goku fight scene so far. And Super Saiyan Rage Trunks looks fucking awesome. I heard about it before now. Thanks, internet. But the reveal was still just as cool. Brent, always good to hear from you. So is that what we're calling it? Super Saiyan Rage Trunks? Obviously, people who have been watching the Japanese dub already know that they already have names for these transformations. But us that are just sticking with the English dub, we don't know. So I'm assuming that that's what it's being called. Super Saiyan Rage Trunks. I'm going to assume that this is a transformation or that's just going to be unique to him, right? Like Gohan had his thing that was just for him. Like Mystic Gohan, Ultimate Gohan. No one else really did that. No one else went Super Saiyan 3. No, I'll take it back. Never mind. Gotenks. I was about to say Goku was the only one who did Super Saiyan 3. No, that's not true. Gotenks went Super Saiyan 3. And maybe this will just be a Trunks thing, you know, and we can just find out more about it. But I agree with you, Brent. It does look awesome. I mean, that aura. These auras are one of the best things to come out of this modern technology in terms of Dragon Ball. Because we can get these sweet sort of computer enhanced auras, and they just look incredible. So I thought that looked fucking badass, man. I can't wait to see what this does. Let's see how powerful he's going to be in the next episode. So I'm excited about that. Okay, once again, if you have anything you want to say about all of that stuff that I just talked about, send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, stay tuned for all of the other interesting, hopefully, things that I have coming up. The best way to keep track of all that is to head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Thanks again for the review earlier today. That was pretty cool to see that come in sort of at the last minute. Always nice. If you have anything you want to say, hopefully positive, head over to iTunes, leave me a review there. I think that about does it, guys. So I'm expecting some responses for this episode. Let's talk about this shit. Until next time, for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I will see you next time.